Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The truth shall set you free. We've all heard this Bible verse used by people to extol the virtues of truthfulness to us. Indeed, truthfulness is a virtue. Just tell the truth, and the truth will set you free, they say. And telling the truth is cathartic, and it is liberating. But it can also, as John the Baptist found out, liberate your head from your neck. We know many accounts from the history of the early church where steadfast Christians confessed the truth and paid for it with torture and some with their lives. In the second century, Saint Polycarp was arrested and tried as an enemy of Caesar because he would not recognize or even say the words, "Caesar is Lord." He was urged by his Roman captors, "Reproach Christ, and I will set you free." But Polycarp stood fast and boldly confessed Christ to the multitude that had gathered there to watch him burn. He confessed, "For 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me?" And as a reward for his steadfast confession of Christ and his boldness to speak the truth, Polycarp was burned at the stake. And when God caused the fire not to touch him or to burn him up, the Roman executioner stabbed Polycarp, and it is reported that so much blood flowed from his body that it extinguished the fire. Our gospel reading, we are told of the confession of Saint John the Baptist. John the Baptist was greatly tempted to deny Christ, but he confessed, and he did not deny. And John was tempted to deny Christ, and so are we tempted to deny Christ in our lives. But we must not deny Christ, we must confess him boldly. But if we are to know how to confess Christ boldly, then we should also examine the ways that we deny Christ. You see, denial and confession are polar opposites. There is no common ground. You cannot remain neutral on God's truth. Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Today's gospel reading shows us that John the Baptist was a faithful witness and confessor of Christ. John the Baptist was not the typical prophet. He lived alone and wandered around in the wilderness. He wore clothing that was made of camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. What a weirdo! But it was this boldness of John that captivated the attention of an entire nation. He preached repentance, he baptized, and he announced the coming of the kingdom of God in Jesus. As John preached God's message of repentance, confusion about his identity began to grow. Was he the Elijah? Was he the great prophet? Or was he the Christ? John had come to such great prominence that the highest authority in the Jewish land sent a delegation of priests and Levites to interrogate him. And these priests and Levites, they ask him a simple question. They ask him, "Who are you?" Seems pretty simple. He could have just said, "I'm John the Baptist," right? But this question is a temptation to deny Christ and to take the glory for himself. And with this question, the priests and the Levites, they offer him an opportunity not for ordinary glory, but for the highest glory of all. For they are ready to accept him as the Messiah. And oh, what a sweet temptation the devil laid before John, all he had to say was that he was the Christ. And they would have treated him like a king and worshipped him. But by saying, "I am the Christ," John would have had all the people behind him and led a nation to revolt that the Romans could not have stopped. And this is just what the priests and the Levites want. John perceives what's happening here. And aided by the Holy Spirit, John sees through their temptation, and he simply answers, "I am not the Christ." And John withstands the very first temptation. But Satan does not give up so easily. This interrogation, call it the Jewish Inquisition, if you will, they keep asking questions. "What then? Are you Elijah?" John, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, answers, "I am not." And perhaps getting frustrated, they continue, "Are you the prophet?" And John simply answers, "No." This may seem confusing to us because Jesus even said of John the Baptist, "All the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who is to come." John, being extremely careful in his answers and questions. It's one thing for our Lord Jesus Christ to say that John is Elijah, spoken of by the prophet Malachi. It's quite another for John to claim this for himself. And John, in his humility, does not wish that any titles be bestowed upon him as the priests and the Levites, and indeed all the people who were gathered there, might misunderstand his claim. By saying no to these claims of prophet, his confession is making it impossible for anyone to draw false conclusions about him. And this delegation of detectives, the priests and the Levites, they're getting pretty frustrated with John now. So frustrated that they demand an answer as to exactly who is John the Baptist. And they're feeling pressure from the Pharisees, the ones who sent them. They must get an answer once and for all. Who is this crazy, camel hair wearing, bug and honey eating weirdo? Who is this guy? And John, again humbled by the Holy Spirit, he answers, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." John is not there only to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God, but he is preparing hearts for the advent of the Messiah by preaching repentance. This is not at all what the priests and the Levites want to hear. They're looking for a political Messiah that will free them from Roman oppression. They don't want an invisible kingdom which they can only enter by repentance. The irony is what should have been a sign and a wake-up call to these priests and Levites of the coming of the Messiah in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy was ignored by the very people who were supposed to be waiting for it. And finally, in our narrative, I imagine the mood has changed from friendly to confrontational. And this delegation of inquisitors asked John the Baptist, "Well, why are you baptizing if you're not Christ, Elijah, or the prophet?" And here's where John seizes the opportunity to speak the truth and testify about Jesus as Christ, and identifies himself as only the humble and unworthy servant of the Messiah. John answers, "I baptize with water, but among you, one you do not know. Among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." From this wonderful example of the true confession of John the Baptist, we can learn how we deny Christ. If John had answered any of these questions posed to him in the affirmative, he would have denied Christ. Today, the sin of denying Christ takes on a few forms. We've probably heard it said by people that Jesus was just a good moral teacher who gave us instructions on how to live this life. And they deny that Jesus is both God and man, as the scriptures tell us. And they say all of that is just religious nonsense. And even Christians fall into the sin of the denial of Christ. Sometimes old Adam falls into sin when he thinks he knows better than God and he places himself above God. We deny Christ in our inaction towards our neighbor. Jesus said, "As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Some self-titled Christians deny Christ as they lead openly sinful lives in cohabitation, which publicly demonstrates that they do not have a real confession of Christ. Or perhaps we might deny Christ by remaining silent when we should speak God's truth to others as we deal with the world. LCMS pastor and the very first president of our synod, C.F.W. Walther, wrote, "Whoever wishes to confess that Christ is the Son of God, but either from pride in his human reason or fear of the world denies that there is a devil or that the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is God's word, or that a person is reborn through holy baptism, or that the body and blood of Christ Jesus is truly present in the Holy Supper, and that all communicants receive it, whoever denies one of these truths, even though it seems most insignificant, denies Christ himself and his word." And God forbid we might be tempted to outright deny Christ, even when we know Christ, to save our own skins, as St. Peter did the night of Jesus' betrayal. My mother used to say, "A lie of commission is the same as a lie of omission." Do we not owe it to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to confess Christ to one another? And even more, do we not owe it to our neighbor to confess the complete truth of Christ? Indeed we do, as only the truth of Christ can set them free and save them. Jesus said, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." You see, we have everything to lose by not confessing Christ. And we have nothing to gain by denying him. And when people ask us who we are, we can confess to them that we are children of God. And they can question us, and we will point them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can be a witness, just like John. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God knows that we are corrupt and weak, and that we are unable to keep his commandments and boldly confess Christ like we would like to or as we should. And even though St. Peter denied ever knowing Christ, Jesus forgave Peter when he repented of his sin of denial. And so much more did God love the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son to save us. And when we fall into the denial, when we fall into the sin of the denial of Christ, Jesus Christ took that sin upon himself. Even when we do not confess Christ as we should, or we deny him by staying silent, Christ the crucified one forgives that sin of the repentant believer. It is only because of the work of Christ that we can stand righteous before God. God calls us to repentance during this season before the advent of our Lord Jesus. This is the same message that John preached. And though John prepared the way and baptized with water, you were baptized with water and the word. And in the water of holy baptism, God bestowed upon you the name of Christ and gave you the Holy Spirit. And daily our sins of failing to confess as strongly as we should or staying silent when we ought to speak are drowned with old Adam, and new Adam arises daily to live in righteousness and purity forever. And today you will receive the forgiveness of sin and the life-giving gifts of our Savior's true body and blood at the altar, which he gives to you to strengthen and to preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Therefore, with confidence, the truth of Christ, let us boldly proclaim Christ to everyone, no matter the cost. Let us not fear to speak his truth, as the Holy Spirit will guide our mouths as we make a right confession of Christ. And may Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, help us for the sake of making a good confession of him. In the name of Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.